Scripture reading this morning comes from Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 7. Job 38, 1 through 7. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will guess you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy."
Morning, everyone. Hope you're all doing well, having a great day so far. The lesson this morning is not necessarily about Job, but what I wanted you to just take from that there is that our God is perfect. That God in heaven is the most awesome God. Of all any kind of other mythologies or pagan gods that you can think of, God stands above everything. He is awesome in every way, shape, and form. Let's take a moment this morning to go through a few scriptures and not necessarily focus on one text, but look at many different texts and talking about how awesome and how great and perfect our God is. And the first thing I want us to notice is in Matthew 5:48, and how we're told to be perfect just as our Father in heaven is perfect. And of course, Matthew 5:48, and in the same chapter, if we go back to Matthew 5:8, we see that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If we are pure in heart as God is, if we are perfect as God is, we will see God in the end. I've said this before, but a really cool billboard that I've seen before, that whenever I was driving on the road, I just saw it in the corner of my eye. It said, "In the end, you will see God." And it was a really, really neat billboard. It just kind of struck me for a second. "In the end, you will see God." That's all it said. That's the only thing it said. And that's really all it took for my heart to be struck there. In the end, you will see God. And that's true for all of us, Christians and friends, non-Christians. That's true for all of us. In the end, we will see God. The question is, will we be ready to see God? Will we be ready, having done all that we can for God? Will we be worthy to enter into the gates of that city, to enter into heaven? That's left up to our choices in this life that we make. Life is a test, make no mistake. And the question is, will we be worthy to go into heaven? Will we be in the book of life and go into heaven to be with God forever? We must be perfect as God is perfect. So let's look at a few things first. And talking back in the Old Testament, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. If we go back to the book of Genesis, we see the creation account. People wonder, how was all of this made? How was humanity made? It's told for you. It's recorded for you. So you don't have to wonder about it. We're told how we were made. We're told why we're here. You think about those three great questions of life. Why am I here? Where am I going? Where do I come from? Those three great questions. Does the Bible answer those questions? Yes, it answers all those questions and more. Those questions are there, answered. The question is, will we believe them? Will we listen to the God that's telling us, "I made you. I created you. Listen to me. Obey my commandments." That's what our God tries to tell us time and time again throughout Scripture. In Genesis 1, God created everything. He made this world for us. He made us to have dominion over the entire world, have dominion over all the creatures, over all the insects, over all the seas, over everything. It's all ours, this whole world. God made it for us, and He sustains it for us so that we can live here and have our being. With God, nothing is impossible. In Genesis chapter 7, God brought a flood upon the earth whenever man did what? Whenever man chose other than God. Whenever man chose paganism. Whenever man chose their own ways. And one of their own ways that we have today that man chooses is to entirely disbelieve God. It's to entirely believe in chance. entirely believe in things that they're not even sure about. Things like evolution. All different types of things. Some people don't even believe in God. With God, though, nothing is impossible. Everything is told. There is no question left unanswered in the Scriptures. Genesis 7, that flood happens. Why? Because of the wickedness of man, because of the choices of man. Make no mistake, friends. The reason sin is in this world is because of the choices of man. Because we chose sin. And you might say, well, that was Eve. That was Adam back in Genesis. It may have been. But which one of us are perfect here? Which one of us have never made a mistake? I tell you right now, I've made mistakes. I may be standing in this pulpit, but I've made plenty of mistakes as you have. None of us are perfect. And God knew that we needed redemption, which is why He sent His Son in John 3:16. Genesis 7, that flood happened. In Genesis 11, we talked about last Sunday what happened in Genesis 11. God confused the languages of man. God had the power to confuse the languages of man and have man split up into different nations. Remember the Tower of Babel? That's what happened there. God had the power to do that. Which one of us have the same power to do that? We read there in Job. Be a man. I'm asking you questions here, Job. Whenever he was talking to Job, Job had just spent all that time and his friends there talking about the things of God. And then God, He corrected Job in everything. He corrected the friends there in everything. He said, who are you? I'm God. I created all these things. And if you continue through that text, I encourage you to read it whenever you can. You continue to read it. God tells how He knows all these things. He knows about space. He knows about the ocean. He knows about all of earth. He knows how He created it. He knows how it's all done. He knows how it all works. All the animals, why they do what they do. He knows why the insects do what they do. Because He created it. That's how He made it. That's how He designed it. He questions Job on that. He says, who are you, Job? I made all these things. If we continue in Genesis 19 and verse 24, we read about a city that chose wickedness. Two different places. We know about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah chose wickedness over God. And of course, we know what would happen to Sodom and Gomorrah to serve as an example from generation to generation. Genesis 19:24. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So He overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked behind him and she became a pillar of salt. That's Lot's wife. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw, behold, the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when He overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. God was able to rain fire and brimstone on a city just because it was wicked. God created everything. God had a flood happen to destroy the entire earth. I want you to picture the scene for a moment. Noah and his family, Noah and those other seven people, there were eight that were on the ark. Eight. Imagine this being your time. There's an ark being built. For almost 100 years, Noah and his family have been building this giant boat. You've never seen anything like it. And he's building this giant boat. And you're wondering, this man's crazy. Why is he building this boat? He keeps telling us of all of this judgment that's about to happen, how the earth is going to be flooded, all these different things. We know Noah was a preacher of righteousness from the epistles of Peter. He's telling us all these things. He's a crazy man. And then what happens? They find themselves most likely beating on the doors of the ark as rain is coming down, as the fountains of the deep are opening up, as the earth was flooded back in that day. The question is, we may not have that same flood happen today. The rainbow stands as a promise that we will never have a flood like that happen again. But of course, will there be another judgment? Will there be an ultimate judgment of God in the end for us all? In the end, we will see God. Make no mistake. Just as that billboard said, and we've mentioned at the start of this lesson, in the end, we will see God. In Genesis 41:37-57, we won't read all that. But Joseph, you remember Joseph? Put this down as a marker. Joseph was a man, as we mentioned in our class this morning, who went from nothing to everything. And what was the thing that stood in between? God. God was what stood in between. Joseph went from lying in a pit sitting there in a pit, wasting away, after his brothers just threw him in a pit. He went from that to becoming second in Egypt, to becoming basically almost the Pharaoh of Egypt, over a whole nation of people. And what was in between? God. With God, nothing is impossible. We see that our God is perfect in everything that He does. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, turn there with me. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 21 through 22. Deuteronomy 10, 21 through 22. He is your praise, and He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. We made a phrase this morning in our class. We said a phrase, and that is to remember your history. To remember the history of humanity. Remember the history of the things that are before us. Remember the why we're here. And why we're here starts first with the answer of God. Starts first with the one who designed us, designed this world. You can't say this world doesn't have design. Why are we here? Of course, our answer that we find is God. Even in looking at the creation around us, the answer is God. People saw these great wonders that God would do many times throughout the Old Testament. These wonders in heaven, these wonders on the earth, these miracles that would happen with the different prophets that God would send to man to try to bring man back to God. All these miracles that would happen. You remember Elijah? Remember prophets like Elijah, like Jeremiah? All these different prophets, even the minor prophets as we're studying in our class. All these miracles, all these amazing things that would happen. That was because of who? It was because of God. Just as Jesus performed miracles in the New Testament, God did it in the Old Testament. Because He was trying to bring man back to Him. You see, with God, nothing is impossible. It doesn't just stop at miracles. It doesn't just stop at physical things. It goes to spiritual. The question is, are you in need today of turning to Christ? Have you never done that? Have you never turned to Christ? Have you never become a Christian before? Have you never become a person of God? Have you never followed the commandments of God to be saved? If you haven't, then why? We need to be perfect just as God is perfect so that we can see God in the end and be acceptable and pleasing before Him. We also said another question in our class. Do you know, or do I know, if we're talking about ourselves, ask your own heart, do I know that my name is written in the book of life? What is the book of life, friends? Go read about it in Revelation. The book of life is a list of names written down of those who will enter the gates of that city. What city? The city beyond the universe, heaven. Heaven, the ultimate city of awesomeness. You go read about heaven in the book of Revelation. The thing that is better than anything this life could offer. Anything. You think about the best things in this life, heaven is better. Truly it is. No pain, no suffering, no tears, no anything. And God offers that to you. He offers that. Freely for the taking. All He requires is your obedience to stay away from sin that destroys you. God loves you. Will you love God? Because our God is perfect. We also remember, if we continue reading there in the Old Testament, talking about God's perfection and His wonders, that God did 10 plagues in Egypt. All those plagues. Remember how God turned the water to blood in the book of Exodus? He turned the water to blood, brought about frogs, lice, flies, death of livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness. And of course, to finish it out, the 10th plague. What did God do? Caused death of the firstborn males of Egypt. All of these things God did to do what? To bring man back to Him. To prove He exists. God did this so that we know Him. And these things are written down for us. They're written down for us. God also split the Red Sea after that event so the Israelites could walk through the Red Sea and so that they could have salvation in Him. They could start a new nation. They could be God's holy people who would be a light to the world. Of course, bring about Jesus' lineage. The whole reason that Jesus was brought about was because Abraham had that promise to him. God promised that to him, and of course he carried it out through that tribe of Judah. You go back to your Old Testament history, you'll learn those things. All these things I say in a topical way, rather than analyzing in one specific text, because it's good sometimes to think about our God's perfection, to think about how awesome our God is. We could go this morning, and I've been loving looking at the different miracles of Christ, looking at those different awesome things that Jesus and His apostles did. But one thing that we can do also is look at the whole entirety of the Scriptures. Not going every single detail in every text, but just look at events that have happened. Look at all these events and how God shows that nothing is impossible with His power, with His might, with His love, with His glory, with His awesomeness. Only God can do it. We need to trust in our Father, in our God. Of course, are we following Him today? Questions for us to ask ourselves. We talked about the Old Testament. Why not talk about the New? Remember Jesus turning water to wine? Jesus curing and healing so many people with diseases and sicknesses? Jesus healing people who were demon-possessed? Remember those things? Those accounts by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Those different people. Those accounts where they saw these different things that would have happened with Jesus whenever He healed these people. In John chapter 2, water to wine. In John chapter 4, we know about Jesus healing a nobleman's son. In Luke chapter 5, we know Jesus caused the catch of many fish miraculously. Remember that fish catch? One really cool show that I've loved to watch is The Chosen. I don't know if you've ever heard about it, but The Chosen is an awesome, awesome show. And it focuses on how the apostles really came to know Christ. And one of the things that happens in that show is it shows that miraculous fish catch. It shows whenever Peter and Andrew were out on that boat and they were trying to fish for those fish there. Of course, James and John were on the scene. Zebedee was on the scene. Of course, this is all really to show just really those, try to get you into the scene is really what that show is about. And it shows those fish coming up. It shows the amazement on Peter's face and how he was just doubting and now look at the amazement. And then, of course, he kneels before Jesus. Really neat show, really neat. And just thinking back to all these miracles and how it would have impacted the people who saw them, they should impact us as well today. Why should they? Because that's a God who wrote all those things down for you. Who with 40 different writers across all of biblical history, 1,500 years, God had people write down these Scriptures for you so that you can know Him, so that you can know the God that created you, that wants you to follow Him, and wants you to be in heaven with Him after this life. 40 different writers, different backgrounds, different languages. They all came from different places, different prophets, priests, men and women, all these different people. And God had them write these things just for you. That's awesome. That shows a loving and perfect God. We know about many more things, many more signs and miracles that God did in the New Testament. Many more awesome, awesome miracles. How Jesus healed a man of the deadly leprosy disease. There was really no cure in that day for leprosy in Jesus' time. Jesus healed a man of it in Matthew chapter 8. God commands angels, spiritual beings. And we're talking about all these different things. Why? Because we're showing the perfection and the majesty of God. That's what we're talking about this morning. Looking at these different chapters, God commanding angels in Revelation 12. God is all-knowing. Let's talk about some traits of God. God is all-knowing of all things. Acts chapter 1 and verse 24. Turn there with me. Acts chapter 1 and verse 24. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen." Catch what it said there? "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all." If you go to 1 Kings 8:39, you'll also see the same thing. But let's go to Psalm now. Psalm 139. We're going to look at two Psalms here. And really what I want you to catch is this omniscience of God. It's another one of those big O words. Omniscience, meaning all-knowing. God knows everything at the same time always. He knows the past, the future, and the present all together. God stands outside the boundaries of time and space. And those are awesome things about God. Psalm 139. We're going to read verse 4. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. We know, of course, in verse 7, talking about the all-presentness of God, how God is everywhere. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Beautiful psalm. I love Psalm 139. Turn to 147 now. 147 and verse 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is, what's the word there? Infinite. His understanding is infinite. People seek all this wisdom on earth. We talked about Solomon on, it was last Sunday evening. We talked about Solomon, about all the things that Solomon had, and one of those things that he had was wisdom. He had wisdom where all the kings of the earth were wanting to know more from Solomon. The Queen of Sheba wanting to know things from Solomon. Remember, all those things were given to Solomon by who? All the riches, all the wealth. Remember all the money that Solomon had? It's estimated he made $40 billion every single year. King Solomon of Israel. Remember him from the Scriptures? King Solomon, $40 billion every year. Man was likely the most wealthy person that ever lived, accumulating somewhere around $2-3 trillion in his lifetime, in the 40 years he reigned. All of that coming from what? The God of heaven. Because God was with him. Yes, God did that. You say, God doesn't exist. How did Solomon get that? How was there a flood on the earth? How are the languages of man confused? How are we here in the first place? How are there animals? How are there insects? How are there the seas, the oceans, the stars? Look above you. How are there the clouds? Look at the majesty. When you look at the sky, you see the clouds of the heavens. What do you see? Do you see chance or do you see God? I'll tell you, whenever I look at the heavens and I see clouds so beautiful as they are, I look at a sunset or I look at a sun going down, I look at anything like that, I see God. It's so beautiful, isn't it? I see God. And I hope you do too. I don't see random chance. I don't see us as monkeys. I see God. I don't see random chance. I hope that's the same for you. I hope when you look at a rainbow, you see the promise of a covenant. The promise of a covenant that God would never again flood the earth. God would never do that again. All these things you learn from Scripture. We asked those questions in the beginning of this lesson, friends. Where am I going? Where do I come from? Why am I here? All of that, again, answered in Scripture. And what we're talking about this morning is the perfection of God. Do we know, Christians, that we have the most powerful person in all of existence on our side? Do we know that? We have our troubles and struggles in this life. We've all been through it. And we're going through it now. I know about prayer requests that people have right now. And yet, we have a God waiting for us after this life. Any day could be our day where we die. Any day. We could go out here on the road and we could get in a wreck. Just like that. And guess what? What was all that belief in evolution for? Nothing. What happens if you do see God? That's not good, is it? But if there is a God, that's not good. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready for any time that could happen. Any time whenever death could meet us in the face. We talked about death not as the end, but death is a gateway. Death is a path to the next life. This life is a test, make no mistake, friends. It's a test by God. This world is perfect for us. It's awesome. We can live on it. We can have our being, make our choices. And it's a test. The question is, will we pass the test? Will we be acceptable before God and live up to the standard of heaven? Will we be worthy of the city, worthy to eat the tree of life in heaven and live forever with God? So many things we can talk about with God and the perfectness of God and all of these different traits of God, how He's all-knowing, He's all-seeing, He's all-powerful, He's everywhere at the same time. We can talk about all these things, and there's just too many scriptures for me to cover. That's why I have to look at this in a topical way. There's too many scriptures. We talk about all these different miracles. We talk about all these different events that happened. All these things that God did for His people. All these judgments that God did on the wicked. And we look at that in application for us as Christians today. And what do we come to? We come to the fact that we live and have our beings on this earth the same as they did back in that day, in those days. Just as they did in the days of the flood. Just as they did in the times of Christ. They saw those miracles. And even those who didn't see miracles who lived on the earth back in those days. We live just as they did in their day. The question is, friends, will we follow God, the perfect God, and will we be perfect just as our Father in heaven is perfect, as Matthew 5:48 says. Hebrews 13:5-6 says that we can boldly say that God is our helper. We can say that boldly because God is with us as His people. Another thing that we can look at that about how God is on our side, we know that one of the most common verses for us whenever we're talking about temptation is 1 Corinthians 10:13. How we'll be able to escape temptations. About how we'll be able to always have a door open to us to get away from sin. To get away from evil. God is the one who helps us to get away from those things. Paul the Apostle, you remember him? He lived by a statement. If you go read in Romans 8:31, read that with me. Let's read a text real quick. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Read with me in verse 37. Continue there. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's everlasting love is the title there in the New King James Version. God is everlasting. God is perfect in everything that He does, everything that He is. And God will never allow people to snatch us out of His hands as Christians, as people of Him, as people of the kingdom of God. If you are in the kingdom of God, you are secure. You are safe. And God says so here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No one can. Not any persecution, not any tribulation, not any struggles in this life can take you away from the hand of God. You are safe. You are safe. You are secure in the loving arms of God. As Christians, as people of God, have confidence in your Father. Have confidence in your God today that He will deliver you after this life. That after this life, you have shown yourself acceptable to Him, that you will go to heaven and you will be with all those before who have gone. Noah, Ezekiel, all these different ones, Daniel, all these different prophets, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. We've been reading about some of them. All these different prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them waiting there in paradise. The ones you've read about, waiting for us. Think about Ruth. Think about Deborah the judge back in the book of Judges. All these waiting there in paradise for us. King David. All these. Samuel, the prophet. Beautiful thoughts that we can look at there. And of course, this is a topical lesson once again, so we're just going over many different events and many different ideas that we can think about this morning. It's good to think about the perfection of God every once in a while. I always make sure to have a lesson on that, because we need to think about God. We need to think about our God and think about our Father and how awesome He is and praise our God in these things. So don't fear man. Matthew 10:28-31. Let's look at that together. Matthew 10:28-31. If you want to look at the majesty of God, if you want to look at how awesome He is, go back to Psalms and you'll see all about that. The whole thing is about praising God. The whole thing is about the majesty of God and how God delivers. Beautiful Psalms written by David and many others. But Matthew 10:28-31, let's read it together. "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." You know the hairs of your head are numbered? God knows everything about you. Remember when He was there questioning Job in the scripture reading we had this morning? Do we know the hairs on each of our heads? God does. He knows mine. He knows yours. He knows yours. He knows yours. He knows yours. He knows all of it. He knows all the information. He knows all the wisdom that there is to know because He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is God. That's how awesome and perfect our God is. And one other thing that we can look at this morning before we end out our lesson is that God is perfect as far as righteousness goes. He's without sin. You know that God gave us a law. And something neat about God is that you look in all these other mythologies and you look at all those things and these other gods, they give these laws. They give these laws made by man. But they give these laws and those gods are killing each other and they're going crazy. And those are mythologies. Those are things made by man, paganism. Yet the God that we follow follows His own law. You ever think about that? He follows His own law. He's righteous. He obeys His own law of righteousness. Has God ever sinned? Has He ever shown that He has? No, He's not. Does He follow His own law? Yeah, He does. He tells us to do it, and then He also does it. He follows righteousness. That's a beautiful thing about God. That's a beautiful trait about God. A beautiful, awesome thing that God even is righteous Himself. He can do whatever He wants. Who here can hold back God from doing what He wants? None of us. God is all-powerful. But God ultimately chooses to follow even righteousness Himself. That's a beautiful thing about God's inner traits. We are tempted not by God, friends, but we are tempted by the evil one, tempted by Satan. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, Jesus warns us about that. It was Matthew 6:13. Of course, as God's people on earth, we are at war. We're in a spiritual war. We're tempted. We're tried daily. We're always going about through different trials in this life. However, our perfect God assists us in our daily spiritual war. God always does, every single day. He's always ready. Noon, morning, night, anytime, God is ready to assist us in our daily spiritual war. 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 19, read it with me. 1 John 5:18-19. "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true. We are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen." While the rest of the world is wondering, while the rest of the world is confused about why we're here, where we're going, where we come from, Christians, are we confused on those three questions? I'm not. And I hope you're not this morning. Do you know why you're here? Do you know where you're going? Do you know where you come from? I hope you do, Christians. Friends, this lesson, once again, is to help us to see the perfection of God, to help us to see the awesome glory and majesty of God, to see the righteousness of God, to see the acts of God. We can read about in the Acts of the Apostles, we can read in the Old and New Testament, see all those things that happened. And they all lead up to one God. And everything ultimately leads up to one Christ, one Messiah, one Jesus. Will we follow that Jesus that's left up to us? Many more things I could tell you about today, friends. Many more things we could go through in these scriptures, but I don't have the time to do it. 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 21, if you're taking notes, is another reference we can look at. In 2 Samuel 22:31, that God practices what He preaches. God's law is what gives spiritual wisdom. The best wisdom that you can look for. The best wisdom that you can hope for. You can have as many PhDs as you want. You can seek wisdom all over the earth. But as Solomon learned, friends, God gives the ultimate wisdom that matters. The wisdom that will get us to the next life. Do we know how perfect our God is? I hope so. We serve a righteous and loving God. This encouraging lesson is yours this morning, Christians. Lesson is yours. If you have any needs at all, physical, mental, or spiritual, please let us help you this morning. Let us pray with you. Let us help you. We all go through trials and struggles in this life. Let us help you this morning. Do come to the front as we're about to stand and sing and take a seat in this pew here. But if you're not a Christian, there's only one way to be saved. And that's through the Jesus that we've preached today. That's through the Jesus we're talking about. The God who sent His own Son, John 3:16, to save the world. Not to condemn it immediately, but to save it. It's left up to us to answer that call, to answer that message that's been given to us, the warning. Whether we heed the warning or not is up to us. Will we heed it? As we read about the minor prophets, they were to heed the warnings. Will we heed the warnings to us of the coming judgment day? The lesson is yours. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you must hear the word of God. You've heard that today. You can look at all these scriptures and all these Genesis accounts that we just looked at. Look at all these Deuteronomy accounts. Look at these Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. You can look at the epistles. You can look at Revelation. And it all talks about one God. You have heard that today. And I encourage you to read your Bibles so that you know the God that created you. Remember your history. Remember the history of humanity. Believe Jesus is the Son of God. Be willing to repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Son of God before men. Be baptized into water and you will be remiss of your sins and added to the kingdom of God. Remain faithful unto death. And what will He do? He'll give you the crown of life. The lesson is yours, friends. If you have any need today, come as we stand and as we sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus, Father, tenderly upon your ear. Sweet His cry of love and pity calleth, turn and listen, say and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Take His yoke, for He is meek and lowly. Bear His burden, to Him turn. He who calleth is the Master. Upon your dear Lord's breast, ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Then His loving, tender voice obeying, bear His yoke, His burden. Find the yoke His hand is on you laying, light and easy for His sake. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will.